Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you into Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us. Currently, the weather in Greenville, not very pleasant. 58 degrees, give or take a point, where depending where you are. And a lot of rain. In fact, it's going to rain so much today over 2.5 inches. Well, let's see, 0.5 inch this morning. But since yesterday, we're going to have a total of 2.5, maybe 3 inches of rain. And that's going to cause some flooding problems, perhaps. So you can watch those swelling creeks and so forth as you make your way out, and especially towards a little bit later in the day today. High is only going to get up to the mid-60s today. 66 is in Greenville. Could be a little bit warmer, a little bit less, of course, where you're going to be. But as you make your way out to work this morning, be prepared for the wet weather. Glad you joined us here at Christian Worldview. We've got a number of interesting stories that have taken place in the last couple of days, and just stuff in the news that we're trying to catch up on. Also been having an interesting time this week preparing my article for the Times Examiner. I've got a draft of it posted already online, as I usually do post the drafts of what I write. Many people like to comment on things that I've written, and so I've posted the draft up there at the policyofliberty.net website. If you're interested in reading about how historical context affects some of the things we think about as Christians when we read the Bible and try to interpret public policy, there's some good things there to check out. For one thing, we don't have a king anymore. When the Bible says we're supposed to honor the king, what does that mean in our day and age? Obviously, since we don't have a monarch, there's something there, unless we want to completely repudiate the passage and say it has completely no applicability to us at all. I think it does have, the principle is still there. We can still have some applicability from the Bible on every case of things that we read. But I think there's some modifications, adaptions that have to take, or adaptations that have to take place according to the culture and technology. For instance, when Jesus tells people to sell their cloak and buy a sword, I don't think we literally have to go out and buy swords. I think we live in an age where there are guns available, and so instead of just buying a sword, we'll go out and buy a gun. And four times in the New Testament, we're told by the apostles that we need to greet each other with a holy kiss. Well, you know, maybe back if you're in Macedonia or Achaia or, some other parts of the ancient world there, that was normal for men and others just to start kissing each other when they greeted. And that's fine. We don't have a problem with that. Obviously, that was just the cultural norm of the day. But four times we're commanded to do it in the Bible, but I don't think that given our cultural context, that would be really appropriate. It may not be sin, but it wouldn't be appropriate. It would certainly look a little bit odd. And therefore, I think the principle of affectionate greeting, whatever form that takes, handshakes or even hugs in some cases, is perfectly acceptable and fine, and that's the fulfillment of that command. Now, there are four times that we're required to greet each other with the holy kiss. There are only three times that we're required to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man or the king or things like that in 1 Peter 2, Titus chapter 3, 1. As well as Romans chapter 13. Now, the number of times, of course, is basically irrelevant. It's just interesting to note how many times God chooses to repeat things in the Scripture. If he says it once, it's enough. You don't need to be told several times. But people who do harp on folks say, "Well, look, the Bible repeatedly tells you to submit to the state." Well, it also repeatedly tells you to greet each other with a holy kiss. What does all this kind of stuff mean? What is the implication for a Christian in struggling to serve God in the world? Well, I think that this article that I'm writing brings out some of the more meaty details of all of this. I'm still working on it. If you'd like to make a comment about it, by all means, have a look at the draft that's posted at policyofliberty.net and get back to me today. Send an email through the contact form or just to the questions at policyofliberty.net email address, and be happy to hear from you about it and discuss it and maybe even make some changes to my own thinking if you point something out that might be in error. If you point out things that are not in error, don't expect me to change those, of course. I always have gainsayers, people who make their complaints and so forth. We're not going to be just jumping around and changing to everybody's whims, people who don't really know what they're saying. Or anyway, well, if you want to reach the show this morning, we have a couple of phone lines you can try. The first one is 864-849-0277. We also have a new soft phone, which we're trying to install for our mixing board. And that is going to be as a 5 on the end, that same number, 8-4-9-0-2-7-5. Not sure that that's ready to work today. You can try it, and we'll see how it goes. But probably you're going to have to use the 8-4-9-0-2-7-7 or our regular backup line, which is 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. Look forward to hearing your phone calls. And what else we got in the news today? Well, here's some Fox News stuff. This is interesting stuff I just pulled off the internet yesterday. Rapist foster parent disclosed sex crimes. Watertown, New York. A convicted rapist became a foster parent for several children even after disclosing his past sex crimes on his application, officials said Wednesday. Disclosure did not raise any flags, said Nicholas Cheney. And Nicholas Cheney became a foster parent in 2001 along with his wife after moving from the Seattle area. His application warranted closer scrutiny and should have been more aggressively investigated than it was, Jefferson County Social Services Commissioner Patricia Connolly said after the county completed an internal investigation of the matter. No children were harmed by in the Cheney household, she said. Well, interesting, isn't it, that government completely fails when it tries to regulate family business. At least we hear of a lot of failures of the state. This brings up, of course, the whole question of whether or not states should be providing foster care services or services to those who are working with adoption. I'd say no. There's no reason government needs to be involved with these functions. The free market is very, very capable of handling these sorts of issues. And, of course, in the free market, we're talking about church groups and other volunteer organizations that are well-equipped to deal with charitable needs and for family-type needs, and far more effectively and with far fewer problems. Now, yes, there will be problems still, no matter what. We live in a sinful world, and markets do not bring perfection. But with states, you have distortions, you have inefficiencies, bureaucrats who do not have a care for anything other than their own paycheck. Why should they be? They don't have anything at stake or at risk, and they have very few reprisals to face, seeing that they have lifetime job appointments with great job security. You're not going to get a great deal of success when you have that sort of system going along. So not surprised to hear about the rapist foster parent getting through again. Another story in Fox News, of course important to us on the Christian Worldview Show, just an FYI, the New Hampshire officials are split on the abortion issue. Concord, New Hampshire. New Hampshire's Democratic governor has found himself on the opposite side of abortion dispute from his own attorney general, a Republican holdover from the previous administration. The case involves New Hampshire's parental notification law, which was struck down by the courts. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to hear Attorney General Kelly Ayotte to bid to have the law reinstated. Ayotte, the first woman appointed to the state's top law enforcement position, has not disclosed her personal beliefs on abortion and has said she is simply duty-bound as Attorney General to defend the law as enacted by the legislature. Governor John Lynch, who was elected last fall, opposes the law. He has not said whether he will try to replace Ayotte. Well, interesting that that's happening, and maybe she is a woman of principle standing up for the truth there. That's nice to see. Although the tide is so hard to turn when the culture is so in favor of murder, especially murdering the unborn. Here's another Fox News story. Kids packing the U.S. schools in record numbers. How important is that? Kids are packing the U.S. schools in record numbers. A record 49.6 million students filled the U.S. schools in 2003, breaking any mark set by their baby boomer parents and giving educators a new generation of challenges. The growth is largely due to all the children who were born in the late 1940s to early 1960s and have since become parents, the Census Bureau said Wednesday. Rising immigration played a part, too, in pushing enrollment past a 1970 record of 48.7 million. You could have predicted this back in 1970 when we had all those kids, said Mark Mather, a demographer in the Population Reference Bureau, which assesses population trends. We knew they were going to have their kids of their own. We have this classic echo effect going on. Well, okay, if that's what you want to call it. At any rate, what's interesting to me here, of course, is now they're talking about the need for more, or stepping up the things in the public school, making things work a little better, and blah, blah, blah. What's interesting to me is just the raw data, the number, 50 million kids in schools. It seems to me that we have a number of other kids, I think 4 to 5, maybe 6 million in private schools, and we also have at least 2 million homeschoolers. My guess is there's more than that because people don't register. Maybe 4 million, maybe 3 million, I don't know. But I'm going to conservatively guess we have 2 million homeschoolers in the United States, and that number is growing. Hopefully it continues to grow. We're going to have more to say about homeschoolers later on. That puts us at roughly 5% of the population as homeschoolers. And if we throw the Christian schools in there as well, we might be up a little higher than that, maybe 8 million out of the 52, or out of the 58 million available. So interesting to keep track of those statistics, and we're doing so here on Christian Worldview. Well, that takes care of the first segment. We're going to take a quick break here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPROS, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPROS.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we're trying to do all those things today as we work ahead on the Christian Worldview program. A couple other news stories that came up were of interest. Dutch voters rejected the European Union Charter. Following the French, we got to applaud the Dutch, too. Amsterdam, the Netherlands, Dutch voters worried about social benefits and immigration, basically the wrong reasons just to deal with the constitutional division as they did, but they still did the right result. Social benefits, please. Anyway, rejected the European Union's constitution Wednesday in what could be a knockdown blow for a charter meant to create power rivaling the United States. With nearly all votes counted, the charter lost 62% to 38%, an even worse defeat from the 55% no vote delivered in a French referendum on Sunday. The Dutch people have spoken tonight. It's a clear result. Naturally, I'm very disappointed, Prime Minister Jan-Peter Balkenende said, conceding defeat in his campaign for ratification. Yes, he probably was hoping to get some extra power out of all of this, and apparently he's going to have to try again. Maybe he can get a government grant to help him work on the next draft and keep his bankroll going. And here, back in America, California, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is proposing to combat global warming by setting voluntary goals for reducing emissions of greenhouse gases in the nation's most populous state. Schwarzenegger wants to roll emissions of greenhouse gases, which include carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide, back to 2000 levels by 2010, to 1990 levels by 2020, and to 80% below the 1990 levels by 2050. The Republican plan to announce an executive order establishing the goals and a climate action team led by California's Environmental Protection Secretary at Wednesday's opening of a five-day UN World Environment Day conference. You know, folks, this is an anti-Christian worldview action because the environment, although it's important to us to be stewards of it, is not to be we're not to look at the environment as something that can be completely corroded by men and somehow destroy God's plan in the world. And not only that, but this is all stuff that's based on pseudoscience. People who have demonstrated time and again that this greenhouse effect and all this stuff is a bunch of nonsense. It's simply not good science. It's environmental leftist propaganda that's being promoted through the political process. That's all it is. Just like when they banned DDT. Remember the story on how government banned DDT? Well, DDT was an insecticide that was used during World War II, did more things than just being an insecticide. But one thing it did do is reduce the number of deaths from malaria by something like 99%. And there were thousands and thousands of people who died every year in the Far East from malaria. And they started spreading DDT and controlled mosquitoes so well that people just were not being killed by it very frequently. You still got some cases, but 99% of it was gone. Well, all of a sudden, some wacky environmental group came up with some theory that the eggshell of certain birds was becoming thinner on account of DDT. Now, why in the world you'd care, at any rate? I mean, well, let's say you got, a species of birds that might really be wiped out versus hundreds of thousands of people or whatever it is that are, total being wiped out by malaria. Well, what are you going to pick? Well, obviously the left liberal thinks, well, the birds are more important. We have too many people already. Let's go ahead and kill them off. This is a typical leftist mindset. And so what we have is people continuing on and with a liberal agenda and effectively killing a lot of human beings. So we see that the environmental stuff was based on this idea of the eggshell being too thin. Turns out later on people found out the eggshells were not being thinned out. It was a false result, that it was very clear that there was no effect whatsoever from DDT use. But did they bring it back? No, they still allow thousands and thousands of people to die every year by not using DDT. Well, this whole greenhouse gas emissions thing is another bunch of bogus science. They're trying to enact public policies that curtail business, and even Arnold, the great Republican moderate, is behind this now, so that people will placate these environmentalist wacky groups. And because of that, it's going to impose all sorts of costs on businesses, impose costs on working and living in the United States. It's effectively an indirect tax that's being charged, that's going to be charged in California through this new policy. So we need to oppose these things from the Christian worldview point of view. If you need more information on why global warming and greenhouse effects and all this stuff are mythical and legends and false science, Just pick up a copy of Ronald Bailey's latest book about the global warming myth and other nonsense that the environmentalists come up with today. Ronald Bailey. Also, Julian Simon's book is a good choice, The Ultimate Resource 2. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Glad you joined us this morning on a great radio show, a great opportunity you have to listen to things that you wouldn't hear at other radio stations. We have a couple of announcements we want to bring your way this morning. Remember, on Monday night there are a couple, there's an activity that's very important. That is the Institute on the Constitution. The Institute on the Constitution is one of our favorite events that's been going on here in the Upstate for several weeks now. It's continuing after Memorial Day break. You're cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Classes began on April 11th and continue every Monday evening for 12 weeks, starting at 6:30 p.m., not including the holiday, of course. The location's at South Point's Baptist Church, 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. Had some new listeners who showed up last week because they heard about it on the Tyranny Response Network. Glad you were able to attend and hope that more can go out and pick up where they're talking, I think, now about Article 3 of the Constitution. Call Pastor Tony Romo if you need to register or receive a notebook. You can reach him at 864-269-1443. That's 864-269-1443. Hope you can attend Monday evening. 6:30 is when it starts. If you have to get there a little late because of family commitments or getting off late and trying to get over there, don't worry about being a few minutes late, but time 6:30 ends at 8:30. If you want to call the show this morning, we have some phone numbers to give you here. The first number is 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. The second one is our backup line, which is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. I hope you'll call and join in if you have any questions or comments about either the stories we've read so forth or other things that might come up shortly. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Now, all of these announcements and people we discuss and mention are great supporters at the Tyranny Response Network are available to you online. If you miss, if you're driving along and you miss an address or a phone number or want some more details again about some meeting you heard, simply go to the website tyrannyresponse.com, or you can go to tyrannyresponse.net. Whichever is easier for you to remember. It's easier for me to remember tyrannyresponse.net, just because the Tyranny Response Network. You know, it's, we're a network, not a company. Like, I think COM stands for company, if I'm not mistaken. So, at any rate, those are both available to you, those websites. And if you go there and look under the events page, you'll find out all sorts of details about different events. Also, Rip and Richie, who's in charge of creating our website and maintaining it, has done a great job putting the monthly calendar down below. So if you simply check the tyrannyresponse.com website under the events page, go down to the bottom. For instance, you'll see the June 2005 calendar there, and it gives you all the main events for different meetings, including the Institute on the Constitution we just mentioned, the Carolina Patriots, which have a meeting this Saturday at the Prime Sirloin restaurant at 1, well, it starts about 12:30 or 1 if you want lunch. Goes till 3. That's a great organization to go and become informed about issues pertaining to taxation and other things that patriotic Americans are concerned about. The Libertarian Business Meeting on the 9th, the League of the South meeting on the 16th, and the Greenville Taxpayers meeting on the 23rd. There's also another Libertarian Meetup meeting on the 22nd. So all this is easily accessible to you. Simply go to tyrannyresponse.com and you'll be able to see the great events or the key events going on from public policy point of view, political parties and so forth, and for education, things through the Institute on the Constitution and stuff like that, all there available at tyrannyresponse.com under the events tab. Go ahead and check it out when you get a chance. Well, what else have we got on tap today? Well, I have a long excerpt here from Franklin Roosevelt, about Franklin Roosevelt. I thought I'd read this. This is, I may have to do this at the top of the hour. Well, I think I have time to do it now. This is out of a book by John T. Flint on the Roosevelt myth. And actually, it's the introduction that was written by, I believe, the Independent Institute. It was Ralph Ryko who wrote it, a professor of history at Buffalo State College. And he has a couple of key things to say. Now, why am I picking on FDR today? Well, because all week we've been picking on villains. Monday was a special show called The Memorial of Villainy, in which we showed the crimes of 8 American senators, presidents, and people in the cabinet, especially Edwin Stanton. And so we thought it'd be interesting to talk about a little bit of Flynn's book and his revelations about Franklin Roosevelt. He says, "As we go marching to the salvation of the world," Flynn warned, "government power expanded, our economic and social life was militarized, and we were coming to resemble the very dictatorships we were fighting." That's what he said about FDR's reign, and this is page 11 of the introduction. Down at the bottom of that page, he says this, "The mantra, Roosevelt cured the depression, exasperated Flynn." This is Ryko writing about the author Flynn, who writes about Roosevelt. Now it is often replaced with the banal and much more cautious, "He gave the people hope." "Didn't anyone care about the facts?" he demanded. "The first New Deal came and went. Then came the second New Deal in 1935, and still the Depression, unlike every previous downturn, dragged on and on." Flynn pointed out that in 1938, the number of persons unemployed totaled 11,800,000, more than were unemployed when Roosevelt was elected in 1932. Flynn deals with the impotence of successive New Deal programs and the fulminations of the planners and spenders in his chapters on the Forgotten Depression and the Dance of the Philosophers. Recent scholarship has bolstered Flynn's analysis. In studying why the slump had started in 1929 became the Great Depression, the longest-lasting in U.S. history, Robert Higgs identifies a critical factor, the exceptionally low rate of private investment. a chief cause of this failure to invest in creating productive jobs. Higgs finds was regime uncertainty. For the first time in our history, investors were seriously worried over the security of property rights in America. There had been an unparalleled outpouring of business-threatening laws, regulations, and court decisions. The oft-stated hostility of President Roosevelt and his lieutenants toward investors as a class, and the character of the anti-business zealots who composed the strategists of administrations of the New Deal from 1935 to 1941. The comfortable mythology that has it that businessmen hated Roosevelt because he was a traitor to his class. The truth is that they feared him as a menace to the private property system, and they restricted their investments accordingly. On FDR's role before and after our entry into World War II, Flynn is scathing. When he wrote his book, Thomas A. Bailey, diplomatic historian at Stanford, had already published a defense of Roosevelt's pro-war policy and how that has now become a standard. Casually conceding the whole revisionist indictment by Charles Beard and others, Bailey wrote, Franklin Roosevelt repeatedly deceived the American people during the period before Pearl Harbor. He was like a physician who must tell the patient lies for the patient's own good. Because the masses are notoriously short-sighted and generally cannot see danger until it is at their throats, our statesmen are forced to deceive them into an awareness of their own long-run interests. This is clearly what Roosevelt had to do, and who will say that posterity will not thank him for it? Well, we're not thanking him for it. Here, I'm interjecting here. This man was a liar and a nut and ended up with loading us with all sorts of theft and horrible things here in America. I'm just going to quick finish up this quote. But Flynn asked, if Roosevelt had the right to do this, to whom is the right denied? In 1948, Flynn was speaking for the patients, the lied to, the duped, and the manipulated masses, those who are known as the free and sovereign citizens of the American Republic. Today, the conventional wisdom is all on the side of the lying Roosevelt and against the people he deceived. Well, here at Christian Worldview, we're in favor of those who were deceived. We want to point out his deceptions because people just don't realize what a liar this guy was and how he dragged us through criminal behavior, aggressive warfare, as well as socialism in America. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Time to take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome back to Christian Worldview. I was just musing this morning as during the break was reading an article that Nelson sent in from WorldNet Daily about corruption, Tennessee style. It's very interesting reading as Senator John Ford, this Democrat, is talking about the corruption that he's been able to get away with, not only in dealing with Al Gore, his dealings with Al Gore, but even had a chance. This guy fired a pistol at a trucker on Interstate 40 near Lexington, it says, in 1990. And he reported, this trucker reported being shot at by Ford, Senator Ford, but as soon as the highway patrol heard it was a senator, they were instructed to let him go. It didn't matter if he was firing guns at people. It's an interesting article just talking about corruption that goes on still in places like Tennessee. And it goes on everywhere. It's not just Tennessee. Anytime you have a state, you're going to have corruption. It's interesting to follow this kind of stuff. Well, interesting also as we start the day here and think about our weather. I don't want to forget to mention this to you. It's 57 degrees in Greenville, and it's only going to climb up to about 66 with lots of rain and thunderstorms today. About a half inch more of rain is going to be falling today. And we're looking for wet weather all through the day, so be prepared as you make your way out this morning for work to have some rain in the forecast. Also, there's some chance of flooding because of all the rain yesterday as well as today, so beware as you're driving, go through the low spots, that there might be some flooding on the roads here in the upstate of South Carolina. Rather cool, dreary day, and a good day to be in your cubicle hiding out working, and even a better day to be listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Our phone numbers this morning are 864-849-0277. If you have a question or comment for the show, 849-0277. We also have another one, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. By all means, give us a call and let's talk about what's on your mind or something that you may have heard today on the Christian Worldview program. Well, the research staff has been diligent as ever to bring up all sorts of interesting articles and so forth. And the other day, one was sent up by a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, I should say, that I've known for a number of years, Fred Foldvere, an excellent scholar living out in the Bay Area of California, as far as I know, teaching in small universities, obscure universities. I think he teaches at Santa Clara University, for instance. And why? Well, because he's in favor of free markets, and anybody who does that, it's hard to get a job because the left liberal establishment and universities don't particularly care for anyone who's not mainstream, especially in economics fields. They don't like people that truly promote the free market. So I think Foldvere's had some difficulty, probably like all of us, in getting jobs in the academic world. But nevertheless, he is there. We have to be thankful for that, even if it's an obscure place. And he wrote a couple of years ago on Enron and the law of the market. People will learn lessons from the collapse of Enron. Some of these will be wrong lessons, he wrote in The Freeman. Critics of markets claim that Enron debacle shows how capitalism is defective and proclaim that the government should increase the regulation of corporations and financial markets. There does need to be a change in government policy, but not in the direction of greater government interference with business. Ooh. A market needs to have clear rules about property rights, and this implies a general law of the market about telling the truth. What is needed is clearer codification of the law of the market, enforcement, and penalties against fraud. Fraud is a type of theft, and theft is a violation of market rules. Enron was able to hide liabilities and partnerships which were not fully disclosed. They need to have honest statements. There should be financial lesson for everybody. Markets are efficient because the ineffective firms fail to go out of business. Any Markets are efficient because the ineffective firms fail and do go out of business. I read that incorrectly. The pure free market does not include force or fraud, but rather consists of voluntary activity. And Fulvery hits, Fred Fulvery hits it just right when he talks about this. The markets, as a system, develops the rule of law. You remember, before there is anything like a state, we have law. There are rules for society. Whether they're basically the Ten Commandments or other social constructions that people develop, it doesn't matter. Still, these things exist prior to having a state and even prior to having a civil government at all. The governments are essentially established because people believe collectively they can do better what they can't really do well on their own. So they hire a government basically to be their servant, to enforce certain rules, to give them certain defense from predators, international, domestic, and so forth. And that includes rules against fraud. So there is a sense in which there is a good use of government, perhaps, at least theoretically. And law itself becomes something that can be of absolute and essential use to people in the market system to operate effectively. When you get a state, though, you get all sorts of corruptions and inefficiencies, and that's what Fulvery is talking about. We need a change in government policy. It's to get rid of the government intervention intrusions that we see. We have a phone call on Christian Worldview. Glad you've joined us this morning. Who am I speaking to?
It's Paul from Georgia. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, Paul. We're great here.
Another show with great information.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate the comment about that. Paul, we just need to jump to a quick break for a minute. Can you hold on through the break?
And I can hold on.
Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. On the line, holding patiently, is caller Paul. And Paul, welcome back to the show. What's on your mind today?
Well, can I let go now?
You can.
Okay, I was holding on tight.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like I said, it's great to hear hear the news of the economic union. I'm glad it was it was voted down. But I was a bit disappointed that France only voted at 55% again. That's pretty narrow.
Well, there's lots of globalists and statists in France. There's probably a few good people left, but you know the reasons for voting it down aren't necessarily the reasons that Americans would patriotic Americans would vote it down. They were concerned that they might lose some sovereignty in France. That's true, and that's a good reason to vote it down. But greater interest to them was the loss of social benefits. They were looking for the benefits that government gives them through their welfare state, and thought it actually might go down a little bit through the European Constitution. So that was the wrong reason. We shouldn't be wanting to increase welfare like they do.
No, but still, it's good that they put the kibosh on it at least for a while.
Yeah, well, that's true, right? Even for the wrong reasons, sure.
Excuse me?
I said, even if they do it for the wrong reasons, it sure is great that they put the kibosh on it, like you said.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I was doing a little bit, trying to do some inform myself, and I've been reading. You're familiar with the Rich Dad Poor Dad books?
Oh yeah, yep, sure am.
And how do you pronounce his name? Kowalski.
I'm not sure. I'm good at pronouncing Japanese names. So.
He recommended a book by
Kiyosaki.
Robert Heilbronner.
Yeah, right. Heilbronner.
Heilbronner. Yeah. Are you familiar with those?
Yeah, he's a socialist, an American, basically a leftover communist. Heilbronner. In the 80s, he finally admitted that the Austrian free market economists were right all along, that socialism would fail. But I don't like Heilbronner because he's on the left, obviously, but he's a well-known leftist.
Well, that was the question. That's exactly what my next question was going to be, because I noticed in his books he recommends a lot of people that lean towards the left, and I wonder if that, kind of corrupts his philosophy in the book. You know what I'm saying? Is he coming too much from the left, or is he just there so he can sell books and be an Oprah Winfrey and all that?
Well, I'm sure he's doing it to sell books. But it's Kiyosaki, I believe, is how you pronounce
Kiyosaki,
the name.
I can't pronounce a lot of people's names either.
Well, that's fair enough. I'm
a simple country boy over here. I can do Bubba pretty good.
Well, I'm not any better necessarily here at pronouncing certain names, for sure. But I think any time you are imbibing leftist doctrine and the leftist philosophy, political philosophy, mindset, everything you write is going to be tainted by that and be affected by it, unfortunately. It's one thing for him to occasionally refer to one of these guys and once in a while throw a good quote out or a good idea, because even a leftist gets it right once in a while. What's our producer always say? Even a blind hog finds an acorn once in a while. And so we have to throw him a bone and say, well, if he's just occasionally looking to the left for some jewels of wisdom they might have, that's one thing. But if he's relying substantially on their works and arguments, then you would have to question, call into question, is this guy's whole theory tainted? And in general, I don't think he has a bad thesis about working and financial planning and how you should live your life and so forth. It does raise questions when you see so much leftist stuff being promoted through the book, doesn't it? So I didn't realize just how much leftism was there, because I haven't read the whole book. You seem to have found a number of things in there, and that makes me wonder, too.
Not being particularly schooled in economics or financial planning, the free market... to me, the free market economists just make a lot of sense. They can't, the people who's politically connected or in office can't profit from free markets. So that's, one of the reasons why we don't have very much free markets today. But just for personal, what do I do now type of thinking, I was picking up his books and trying to learn his philosophy and his way of doing things. So a lot of it makes sense, but I was a bit concerned about a lot of left-leaning economists he has quoting from or recommending. But he also recommends Adam Smith,
Yeah.
That's a big book. Wealth of Nations is a big book. But anyhow, that's what I was calling. When, whenever I see somebody who's preaching free markets but references leftists, it gets me a bit worried if they're part of the problem, or if they're just, like you said, just you know, doing that so they can be accepted mainstream and get their point across.
Yeah, well, it's good. It's a good thing to doubt, that's for sure. And remember, a lot of wealthy people, George Soros, Bill Gates.
Exactly. You know, like he tells you some of the truth. You know, he criticized bankers about not telling you, not lying to you, but not telling you the whole truth. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, but on the other hand, he mentions that to Soros and Gates and Ross Perot. You know, some other people, and he doesn't tell you exactly how they made their money or how they benefited from twisting the system, the socialist system that we're involved in. But it's a small book, you know, and he doesn't want to write volumes, so I can understand that. But again, just trying to not being a PhD, just trying to find out what the truth is or get closer to it. I just had quick question.
Well, I appreciate that, Paul. It's interesting to think about. So, at any rate, thanks for the call this morning, and look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you for the great radio show, and I enjoy every chance I get to listen to y'all, and I'll call back if I have something else pops in my head.
Great. Very good, Paul.
Okay. All right. Well, enjoy the rainy weather.
Okay. Well, you too. Yes, one of our faithful internet listeners from the Atlanta area, Paul, on the line. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's time for a break. Again, we're going to jump to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And what else is happening on the news today? Well, the research department of TRN finds that when he becomes president, says the New York Times of the World Bank on Wednesday, Paul D. Wolfowitz says Africa will be his top priority. So we can now watch for more socialism, blundering, and foolishness as we will transfer billions of dollars through the World Bank to African nations so that they can build projects that don't work and cause all sorts of social grief. Remember, the greatest boondoggle they ever had was this idea of building a dam in Brazil. They love dams, building these things. They just really enjoy it at the World Bank, funding these kinds of projects. And between and sometimes I'm getting these stories, I could be getting a mixed up between the IMF or the World Bank. I see them sort of go hand in glove, these two organizations. But anyway, I think it was the World Bank that financed some of these dam projects in Brazil, trying to dam up some water and produce hydroelectricity. And they built this miles-long dam or something. It was really a large one. It might have been on the Amazon or one of its tributaries, or something that came off of or nearby the Amazon. And what happened to it is it filled up and completely wiped out just thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres of trees and forest, of course, as well as a number of places where people were living, primitive people more or less. And then, guess what? It didn't generate any electricity at all. Why? They decided afterward the water flow was not fast enough to turn turbines. So they spent billions and billions of dollars, and mostly American money, to pull out a project that wouldn't work. This is so typical. I mean, there's a lot that's been written. You go to the Cato Institute or some other places online, you can read about the blunders of the World Bank. So anyway, Africa will be the next victim of folly as this new fellow, Paul Wolfowitz, takes office and starts to charge for the World Bank. The production staff simply put a comment. Actually, it's a quotation from Henry David Thoreau. The government never furthered any enterprise but by the alacrity with which it got out of the way. Good quote. We do like that. Appreciate that. Let's before I forget about our friends at the Times Examiner, let me jump ahead and jump in and talk about them for a minute. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Dr. Marvin Olasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and contributions from the homeschooling Sheen family. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville or in their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Email or call Bob or Laverle, 864-268-0576, 864-268-0576. They're really needing your advertising dollars at the moment. If you're able to put an ad for your business into the Times Examiner, please do so, as the paper, of course, struggles along against the behemoth liberal rag that's available in town. They want to be able to support Bob and Laverle and the paper there. And it's been around for 8 or 9 years, struggling, and it's still struggling, needs now some support from you. If you can put an ad in for your business there, please do give them a call at 864-268-0576. Once again, if you've missed any announcement here, phone number details or whatnot, go ahead and go to the tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com website and look under the Related Media and Events tab, and you'll find all the details there that you might have missed if you're driving along, if you didn't have a pencil to write it down with or whatever. The phone number is this morning, 864-201-6955. That's our backup line, 864-201-6955, as we're repairing and upgrading the phone systems here at TRN. Also, you can reach us on another phone number, 864-849-0277, 864-849-0277. I don't know why it takes so long to upgrade phone lines. I know we're a volunteer organization, but phone companies even have a hard time transferring numbers over, and it takes a long time for whatever reason. So we'll probably be with these numbers for the whole month of June or something close to it. Well, another note on public schools I wanted to read again. It's just so appalling to me, the letter received by Greg, who sent off to the show here, his copy of this letter from Lindsey O. Graham, United States Senator from South Carolina. He says, "Dear Greg, thank you for taking the time to contact me with your thoughts on publicly funded education. I appreciate the opportunity to hear from you." Yeah, right. "As you know, our nation's public schools are funded primarily through local tax revenue. In this way, our nation's citizens support collectively the education to which they are entitled individually. The origins of the public school system are intertwined with the roots of the United States itself. As initial efforts to organize a public school system were partially motivated by a desire to inform and unify our budding nation, public education continues to serve a vital role in preparing young citizens to act as responsible and active members of their homes, workplaces, and communities. Congressional capacity or capability to allocate funds for public education is tacitly or silently derived from Article 1 of the United States Constitution under the legislative powers of Congress. The distribution of funds for specific programs and grants is facilitated by the various departments and agencies of the government's executive branch. Thank you for taking the time to write. Please do not hesitate to contact me if I may be of further assistance to you. Sincerely, Lindsey O. Graham, United States Senator." This guy is a total behemoth ignoramus. I'm sorry, I don't know other way to say it. It's probably not a very nice thing to say about someone, but look, the United States Constitution does not, and the Founding Fathers never thought about public education, the idea that government would actually fund education. It didn't even cross their minds. That was something that homes did or private institutions did. It was never in their minds at all. It's not even tacitly imagined in the Article 1 of the Constitution that government, the federal government, would fund any kind of welfare program or behavior modification scheme such as the public school. So Lindsey Graham has no idea what he's talking about. He's an ignorant politician. Of course, I don't know if he's any different than other politicians. They all may be ignorant, but Lindsey Graham is clearly showing his ignorance when he writes this sort of gibberish. Had to read that again. I read it the other day, but it just it annoyed me so much. Thought I'd bring it up again. Here's another article that came up recently. House drops women in combat bill from the Associated Press. House Republicans abandoned their own plan Wednesday to curb the role of women in combat zones after it ran into opposition from the Pentagon and lawmakers from both parties. Earlier, the House approved a 428-1 vote, a watered-down provision that lets the Pentagon decide military jobs for women as long as it gives Congress 60 days' notice, twice as much time as currently is required. Hoping to rein in skyrocketing costs, the bill also calls for a revamping on how the Pentagon buys weapons systems. So, at any rate, that Women in Combat bill now seems to be dropped. Interesting note. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and time just flies today as we move along with the show. We'll be back in just a minute.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, this second day of June 2005. Very gloomy skies outside, lots of rain, fell yesterday, continues to fall today, could have up to 2.5 inches or maybe 3 inches today. Going to cause some potential flooding problems as you're making your way out to work. Be sure to be aware of rising water, especially throughout the day as the runoff really reaches us down here in Greenville from the mountains. You're going to have 57 degrees outside, give or take a degree, depending on where you're at this morning. And only going to get up to 66 as a high. So rain and thunderstorms in the forecast for today. So be prepared as you make your way out for another work day. Thursday already. Boy, weeks go by quickly when you have a holiday on Monday, don't they? And it's already Thursday, believe it or not. Well, before the break, we started talking about some public schooling. Again, reading Lindsey Graham's inane letter back to a listener or a concerned person about public funding for education. And we have from the Exodus Mandate a plea, an impassioned plea to Southern Baptists to help save our children by Nick Jackson. The Exodus Mandate, of course, is not the same thing as Christian Exodus, although they're related. The Christian Exodus movement is a secessionist movement that wants to move folks to South Carolina in order to have an impact on society through public policy, whereas the Exodus Mandate is simply calling people to get their kids out of public schools. And, of course, some CE members are probably also members of Exodus Mandate. The two go hand in hand. Anyway, there's this impassioned plea to Southern Baptists. Remember that good Southern Baptist Bruce Short wrote a book called The Harsh Truth About Public Schools and actually led the campaign last year to try to get the convention to condemn public schooling and tell Southern Baptists to get out of it. And it made it pretty far into committee, but eventually was stomped on and stomped out. Well, here's what they have to say this year. Nick Jackson, June 21st to 22nd, 2005, may be one of the most important dates in the history of our nation. It could very well determine whether our nation will continue to descend exponentially into her moral freefall or spark a revival and reformation which could save our nation. In Nashville, Tennessee, the Southern Baptist Convention will consider a resolution addressing the issue of pro-homosexual materials in public schools and engage parents to seek alternatives to public school education. How can a simple resolution in a meeting with a bunch of Baptists impact America and the history of our republic? Please do not underestimate the importance of this event. The resolution is designed to make Christian parents and pastors more aware of the aggressive homosexual activism being sponsored by many public schools. The resolution is co-submitted with Dr. Vadi Bacham, a prominent Southern Baptist lecturer, preacher, and the author of Ever Loving the Truth, and Bruce N. Short, a Texas attorney and co-sponsor of the 2004 Christian Education Resolution and author of The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. According to Exodus Mandate, which is found at exodusmandate.org on the web, the Bacham-Short resolution also commends Christians working in government schools. B. Asked Baptists to make a greater effort and provide and support Christian educational alternatives to government schools, especially for the benefit of children from low and income and single parent families. C. Calls upon Baptists to pray for homosexuals. And D. Rebukes homosexual advocates for slandering minorities by claiming their homosexual behavior has any authentic connection with a civil rights movement. We should applaud the efforts of Dr. Vadi Bacham and Dr. Bruce Short for standing valiantly and courageously to rescue our children from our modern-day government schools, which has become parochial schools for humanism and every other kind of ism imaginable. Bruce Short calls them the pagan seminary. The only thing I ever disagree with Bruce Short on his book really about was his vision that some parents could stay in the public school system and be doing a good service, draw a paycheck there legitimately. I think it has to be abandoned by all, except the mole who might actually go in there, maybe not even take a paycheck, just live undercover in order to plant bombs or something. I'm speaking figuratively here. To do something to destroy the entire system. If people could get inside and do that, then I think it would be a worthy cause. Otherwise, Christians should not work at public schools any more than they should work for abortion clinics or at the administrative office of a brothel or something. It's just no chance. I won't read this whole Nick Jackson piece. It's an excellent, but it's very long, and so we're not going to be able to read it here. But I think that this is going to be a good convention again to see if the Southern Baptists are actually able to turn around and recognize the public school for what it is and abandon the thing. Well, related to schooling also, Michael Ferris, who, of course, is the head of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, for those of us who have been homeschooling for many years, and I started in 1990, so it's about 15 years now, we all know about Michael Ferris and his efforts as his group there to stand firm against those who would try to pull down homeschooling. Here he says, the dumbest thing you have ever heard. My recent column requesting dumb statements people had made regarding homeschooling yielded a bumper crop of laughs out louds and a few rolling on the floor laughing. I got a great number of wonderful entries, far too many to publish. This column is the first of two. Here are half of the top entries. This week's winners and my comments interspersed. Here are the comments. From Kara Becker, our realtor learned we were homeschooling. She commented about the lack of social development that would result, but tried to still be positive by adding, even though they couldn't be realtors, thank goodness that there are lots of jobs out there which don't require people skills. And Mike Ferris says, thank you, Dale Carnegie, author of How to Win Friends and Influence People. Yes, indeed. From the Austin family, a stranger said, don't you think your children are being deprived of the thrill of buying school supplies at Walmart when everyone else does? Yes, indeed. No comment necessary, apparently, on that one. From Angela Blackman, a friend who is a paralegal in a very busy law firm, said, how can you ever think you can help? You can keep up with having four kids at home? Don't they just run you off your feet? I'd be exhausted by the end of the day. Mike comments, it's a proven fact that assisting two lawyers is the equivalent of having six kids, or else tending a dozen snakes, depending on the age of the lawyer. From Pamela Minard, my father asked, will I have to bail you out of jail for this? From MDT, my neighbor was picking my brain about getting the public school to challenge her first grader. She was concerned because my first grader was already reading while her son of the same age was just learning about the sounds of letters. Nonetheless, she challenged my homeschooling, saying my son would still miss out. It's important for him socially, too. He needs to be offered drugs so that he can learn to turn them down. Yeah, that's a real important reason to go to a public school. From Marcy Zinn, a family member said, you are just doing this for yourself, so you won't have to buy the kids any school clothes. Yes, right. Working 8-plus hours a day for 12-plus years just smacks of selfishness, if you ask me. Yes, those selfish homeschooled mothers. From MDT, a friend asked, do you use books? Yeah, homeschoolers, do we use any books? I wonder. People are just so dumb, ignorant. From Rosemary Coffee, when my husband told his mother that we were going to homeschool, she replied, what makes Rosemary think she has a right to teach my grandchildren? Mike, it's the same clause of the Constitution that gives grandmas the right to feed cookies and candies to the grandkids an hour before being sent home for dinner. From the Carustos families, my six-year-old son was very fidgety in the dentist chair. Afterward, the dentist spoke to me and told me of his fidgetiness and said, your son did not sit still. It is possibly due to the fact that you homeschool him. Mike, I guess he thought that dentistry was so boring he would branch out into child psychology. From Pam Hines, I told an old friend from high school how my son was able to progress in each subject at his own rate. She earnestly replied, what if he learns it all before he finishes high school? Ooh, what a dangerous thing. From the Austin family, a female public school teacher said, your son will turn out to be much too feminine or gay because you homeschool and being with his mother so much is not good for boys. Mike, I guess that spending ages 5 through 12 with female public school teachers would be better. From Lori Winkleman, I took my daughter to a podiatrist who specialized in treating plantar warts. I asked how children contracted these warts. He told me that they often come from locker rooms or swimming pools. When I told him that since we homeschool, it wouldn't be a locker room, but we do take a swimming class, he replied, yep, homeschooling, that certainly explains it. Mike says, sounds like someone needs to breathe a little fresh air between the foot examinations. This week's winner is from Don Hoey, a Christian friend. God didn't homeschool Jesus. He sent him away to school. Mike, I think the friend needs to be sent away to Sunday school. The dumbest thing you ever heard, part two, says this from Susan Shea. Won't they miss out on hearing a lot of important stuff? I mean, how will they ever learn to stand in line? Similar statements were made by Jita Schmitz and Kathy Kearney. Thank goodness for the rigorous standards of Goals 2000, Mike says. From Tracy Pina, an acquaintance said, every kid has to get beat up a few times in public school, or they won't be able to cope in the real world. Mike says, sticks and stones will break my bones, or else I won't be well-rounded. yeah, I always want to send my kids to a school and get them beat up. and from Clarence and Barbara Hawkins, a homeschool family in our town, took their school days off in the middle of the week to match their father's job schedule. Some nosy neighbors had the family investigated for homeschooling on Saturday. Mike says, reminds me of social services case I did had in Alabama where a mother was hotlined for allowing her children to read books in the back of a van while she drove around town. Yes, what a crime. At any rate, what a bunch of nutty things people think about homeschooling. Well, maybe tomorrow we'll pick some of these up and read a few more as well. He's got a few more on his list from Mike Ferris. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
And we do welcome you back here to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Reading some more articles, trying to catch up from the plethora of things that the Tyranny Response Network staff has been sending, as well as interspersing my various rants and raves about public schooling or about talking about some serious issues regarding biblical theology of public policy. We did that early on in the show today. Well, here the Smithsonian Institute, our institution, makes an intelligent decision. It says they agree to co-sponsor a film premiere that supports design theory. Can you believe that? Pam Shepard says, in a May 30th article, the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C., known as one of the greatest evolutionary propaganda machines in the world, made news on May 28th with its recent decision to co-sponsor, along with Discovery Institute, the national premiere for The Privileged Planet, A Search for Purpose in the Universe. But it is a film intended to undercut evolution, as the New York Times reported in an article, to the Smithsonian to screen a movie that makes a case against evolution, not according to Discovery Institute, the Seattle-based intelligent design think tank. According to their blog, Evolution News and Views, The Privileged Planet is not about biological evolution. It makes a case for intelligent design in the universe based on astronomy and cosmology, writes Rob Crowther of the Discovery Institute. It doesn't deal at all with a Darwinian account of how life developed, he goes on to say. Although much of the public controversy over intelligent design is focused on the application of design to biology, it's important to remember that design theory itself reaches well beyond biology, that some of the strongest evidence for design comes from the fields of physics, astronomy, and cosmology. As reported by the New York Times, May 28th, the film is a documentary based on a 2004 book by Guillermo Gonzalez, an assistant professor of astronomy at Iowa State University, and J.W. Richards, a vice president of the Discovery Institute, that makes the case for a hand of a creator in the design of the Earth and the universe. Well, this is very interesting news, to say the least. The Smithsonian would support this. Richard Gonzalez have an intriguing answer to a troubling question. Well, I don't know why it's a troubling question. One of our researchers wants to know why it's troubling, too. Why is the Earth so well-suited for complex life and observation of the universe by its inhabitants? More critically, is there evidence, scientific evidence, to suggest that design a purpose that explains more than sheer permutations and probabilities which allow for complex life-form existence? Yes, they're actually thinking that there could be a creator. Of course, Christian worldview, we have no trouble believing that God created the world and made it just right for human beings to inhabit here, because we are in the image of God, the crown of his creation. This news is certain to infuriate many atheistic evolutionists, according to Discovery Institute. Some critics are saying that the film is it's a propaganda piece that should be banned from right-minded science institutions, and perhaps even left-minded ones as well. Very interesting news. We'll have to be following that the Smithsonian Institute is actually going to co-sponsor this bill. I'd like to hear that. It's very, very interesting, to say the least. Well, we have some other stuff about that. Trying to pull back from the past here. LouRockwell.com, is Flat-Faced Man Your Ancestor, by Bill Sardi. Bill Sardi writes this article talking about the flat-faced man, and another evolutionary story, since we're on the topic at the moment. When are paleontologists going to stop digging up chimpanzees' bones and calling them your ancestors? It's yet another fossil discovery, one of at least five in the past year, that the Associated Press says may redefine evolution. It's flat-faced man, and I can't pronounce this. It's Kenyanthropus platyops, I don't know. This is some kind of Latinized word. It means flat-faced man, apparently. Found in the sandstone of west of Lake Turkana in Kenya by Meve Leakey of the Leakey Foundation, Nature, Volume 410, page 40, and year 2001. News sources have headlined the announcement worldwide, even though no other scientists have had an opportunity to examine the 30 fossilized bone fragments from just one skull to confirm Leakey's claim that a new genus and species of prehumans, hominids, and even though the dating of the fossil is questionable. When you read news reports carefully, you see how eager scientists and reporters are to turn speculation into scientific fact. The Boston Globe headline reads, "New fossil adds an early branch to the human family tree." But the Associated Press story, Meve Leakey, who discovered flat-faced man, is quoted as saying that chances are 50-50 this species could have been an early ancestor of human beings. "I don't have any scientific grounds to say this is directly ancestral. It's certainly a branch of the human family tree," says Leakey in the Los Angeles Times. That means, in her mind, it is assumed to be a pre-human, and under the assumption that humans evolved from apes, it could be an ancestor of Homo sapiens, or, like one of the many rival hominids, it may have lived millions of years ago but became extinct and died out when an ancestral link to without an ancestral link to modern humans. At any rate, we won't read the whole article here, but it's going through debunking this nonsense that evolutionists frequently come up with, trying to find old bones or fragments and trying to find a missing link between apes and men, which is rather silly. He concludes and says, some scientists have, for some time now, believed that man came from a common ancestor. Using DNA mutation rates to date fossils, researchers believe the first humans, not hominids, Adam and Eve, lived 100,000 to 200,000 years ago. But recently, researchers recognized they had miscalculated the rate of mitochondrial DNA mutation in fossils of early humans. Instead of having existed over 100,000 years ago, the new data indicates Eve may have lived only 6,000 years ago, a scenario that amazingly correlates with the biblical dating of creation. Science, Volume 279, page 28, in 1998. That is fairly fascinating. Even though researchers use the veil of science for their beliefs, they often are nothing more than that. So the scientists have their belief systems, and those who don't buy into the Darwinian evolutionary scheme have theirs, says Bill Sardi. And we appreciate Bill's input today. Very interesting article also on evolution this morning. Important for the Christian worldview that we understand creationism, since it is part of the biblical worldview, and we can debunk the leftist ideas that come through evolution, and we're happy to do so here on the show. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're coming up to the final break here, aren't we? No, we're not coming up to a final break. The producer is waving us on. We're going to continue on, go through the last lap here without a break today. Well, we'll switch gears then. If you have a phone call that you'd like to make to the show and discuss some of these things with us, give us a call at 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. You can also try the backup line, which is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Well, from time to time, we like to give a plug to ChristianLibertarians.com. Which is on, actually it's an org, isn't it? It's libertarianchristians.org. Brian Morton runs this site, and he does promote a number of things that I write there, being a Christian libertarian, a pro-life libertarian. And it's a good site to go to. And here he sent me a couple of things I thought was interesting. I should point out to you. In fact, unfortunately, it's going to be such a long website address, it's going to be hard to read. Maybe we'll post these things on the web. But there are a couple of essays or critiques of libertarianism that are on the web. Now, some constitutionalists are going to be snickering, listening, ha, ha, ha. Yes, we can criticize libertarianism. But you'll find that constitutionalist ideas are also criticized here. They're trying to go to the core of libertarianism and criticize it for loving free market economics, for loving low taxes, for loving limited property, or full property rights, for gun control. Libertarians, they tend to be strongly anti-gun control, even more so than the NRA leadership, since ideology knows no bounds. Trying to paint libertarians as ideologues that go way beyond their bounds. It's a typical liberal critique of libertarianism. So I'm reading through this site called Critiques of Libertarianism, Mike Huben. It's their 10th anniversary, and they're relishing in that fact. There's also another site. This is at the www.sethf.com. If you go to sethf.com, you'll see the site called Libertarianism Makes You Stupid. And this is from Seth Finkelstein in 1997, writing, "What is a libertarian? A critic's view. People who venture into electronic discussion areas will invariably encounter an ideology called libertarianism. It is, in fact, libertarianism, pro, con, and internal faction fights, is the primordial net news discussion topic. Anytime the debate shifts somewhere else, it must eventually return to this fuel source. So what is this belief set, and why is it so popular in certain subcultures? The following is an outsider's view of libertarianism. From proponents, you might be told a libertarian way is logically consistent and to approach to politics based on the moral principle of self-ownership. Each individual has a right to control his or her own body, action, speech, and property. Government's only role is to help individuals defend themselves from force and fraud. However, I regard libertarianism, says this Seth Finkel, as a kind of business-worshipping cultish religion, which churns out annoying flamers who resemble nothing so much as street preachers in the information sidewalk. In order to understand how one gets from the moral principles above to the sort of fanatical proselytizing seen in everyday discussion lists, it's important to grasp how the ideology actually works out from theory to practice. To start off, libertarianism is highly axiomatic. Note, and so is geometry, by the way, so that's not necessarily a bad criticism. Notice how the above quote touts its logically consistent approach. There's a set of rules to be applied to evaluate what's proper, and the outcome given is the answer which is correct in terms of the moral principle of the theory. Yes, well, is that a problem? I mean, why wouldn't we want to start with moral principles and go on and derive conclusions, deductions, based on moral principles, such as we have a right to life, liberty, and property? That seems like a reasonable starting point. Of course, if you're a liberal like Seth Finkelstein, you're not going to believe that such things exist, that we really don't have any absolute rights to life or liberty or property. What we have instead is sort of a dynamic, fuzzy feeling, a fuzzy law set, a fuzzy social contract or some such thing that can be violated at the whim of the majority of people or at the whim of an all-knowing, lying government. Remember, we read about Roosevelt being like the doctor who needs to lie to his patient. Franklin Roosevelt, if he didn't lie to the American people, the patient, the American people, wouldn't have taken what they needed to. Well, that's what government leaders are supposed to do if you're a liberal. Nothing, hardly anything more dangerous politically than a liberal. Although neocons are pretty bad, too, because some people actually believe they're doing a conservative thing when in reality they're liberals under the skin. Very dangerous thing as well. So we're not going to spend too much time gloating over these websites here, but appreciate Brian Morton bringing them up. Nice to know that there are some enemies of libertarianism on the left and their preposterous arguments. You can go see them again if you're interested and make a comment to the show if you have a chance to read some of their stuff. SethF.com is one, and the other one is world.std.com. world.std.com, and then there's some other stuff written after this on the URL, but hopefully you'll find it from just those two if you're interested in the critique of libertarianism. Well, we're coming close to the end of the show, I realize here. I'm going to see if I can't fit in just one more quick one. The first secessionists were Northern abolitionists. Northern abolitionists. Did you know that? Joe Sobrand said in 1998 the first secessionists were Northern abolitionists. A more chilling thought is that the Union victory of New England not only have ended slavery, but offered moral legitimacy on it. Abolitionism might be associated with those nasty rebels who tried to destroy the Union and slavery with the cause of patriotism. As to the victory being belonged to the spoils, including the great extent the moral sense of the population. Well, Joe Sobrand did a great job in pointing out that secession was actually an idea that started in New England. It wasn't just in the South. And several states, including Virginia and New York, at the time of the Constitution was ratified it on the express condition that they might withdraw from the Union any time they deemed it in their interest to do so. Interesting. We don't hear that kind of talk anymore today, and certainly it wasn't under Lincoln's time when he became dictator of America and ended the reign of freedom that we had here. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow, and I'm joined, hopefully, by Rippin' Richie for another guest host opportunity, and we'll be having a great show tomorrow. Until then, we wish you God's blessing, and we look forward to seeing you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.